please keep munching and drinking. Guys, it is so lovely to have so many people in this room of such a mix of ages and stages. So many different stories connected with this topic sat here. It's just a real delight. And thank you especially to Emily for hosting. Thank you to those who bought delicious puddings. Super grateful. It's always a wonderful time. I'm going to ask Ellie to pray for us and then we'll jump in. And some more handouts are coming. So there will be a kind of handout pause when Grace runs in. So if you haven't got one, don't worry, there is one coming.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the encouragement to see all these ladies gathering on a Friday evening. To hear your word speaking into such an important topic and something that we all share in, Lord. And we pray for your voice to be heard really clearly in all our conversations. May your word speak into our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that we would come out feeling to acknowledging our own weakness and leaning into your power and strength, Lord, in all things, not least our emotions and our hormones and the makeup of our bodies, Lord, which you knitted together, Lord. So we praise you for such a brilliant turnout this evening, Lord, and we ask for your hand to be on each one of our conversations, and please keep our minds clear at the end of busy weeks and ready to hear what you can place in our hearts for the months and weeks ahead. In your strength we pray, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So it's going to really help you to have access to a Bible, whether that's physical or online. Some of the Bibles are super small print, so if you can't read them, don't be ashamed. They are really hard to read. Pens will help you, and pieces of paper will also help you. I like seeing what people need at this point.
That's audio recording.
So just so you know where we're going, the first like two-thirds of our time we'll be together. There'll be some stuff in the front, there'll be some stuff for you guys to do, and then the like last 15-20 minutes will be a lovely chat with Ashley and with Niamh to hear a bit of their own personal experience and reflections together before we pray. But as we start, we're thinking about this big topic tonight of hope in hormones. And I would love you, just turn to the person next to you and just share, what was your reaction when you heard that as a topic title? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? What was your question? Feeling that was a lot of thoughts. People! Honestly, the teachers at work. There's clearly a lot of thoughts. I can tell you that when I said the topic to people, I got a whole mix of reactions. I got, Kirsty, that's really exciting. Someone said, ugh, that's depressing. Someone said, it's intriguing. Kirsty, you're brave. Someone just squealed in what I think was horror. So why are we discussing it this evening? Well, in this room, we all share the common experience of being created female. And so hormonal change and its effects shape our daily lives. And I think one of the things I've learned recently, actually, is that wonderfully lots of workplaces are actually paving the way in support for women and in things like menopause care and support. But I think there's a risk that we run as a church of being definitely silent on these issues. And if we don't talk about them, then society's just going to fill in all of those gaps for us. But actually, what we want is for God's truth to speak into this issue, as with any other issue in our lives. And there's two particular aspects of that. Firstly, we want to have a really strong biblical framework for our understanding of the way that we are made as women. We are complex beings. We know that. We have physical symptoms of being a female. But we also know that impacts our emotions and impacts our spiritual selves too. And secondly, a Christian writer, Mel Lacey, describes the menopause specifically as a discipleship issue and a sanctification process. And I think actually that is true for any season of hormonal change, because our calling as Christians is to live to glorify God with all that we are, all of the time. And therefore, we can think about the these times as an opportunity to grow in our Christlikeness and in our dependence upon Christ. Now, as we discuss this topic, we obviously need to acknowledge that we have not walked in someone else's shoes, but wonderfully, we can be really, really confident that the Spirit understands each one of us totally, and that he can speak through God's word to each of us. And so I'm also going to acknowledge at this point, there is lots that we are not going to cover tonight, lots of stuff we can't touch upon, so please consider this the start of a conversation between us as a church family, rather than a final word. But hormonal change, well, what are we meaning when we say that? Well, humans have a lot of hormones, including wonderful things like insulin and others that are totally not related to reproduction. But tonight we are wanting to think specifically about the way in which the Lord has made us female and the hormones that relate to that. So both men and women actually have estrogen, progesterone and testosterone, and women have a variable balance of this hormone every month from menstruation to menopause. So with puberty, menstruation begins, and then for some there are ongoing changes, like with pregnancy, until you get to the menopause, which is when menstruation permanently ends. And there are sometimes I've got to get this right, because otherwise Ashley will be like, I've got to get this right. And so before the menopause, and Sarah, and others, and Anna Boggan, you know. Before the menopause, there's also something called the perimenopause, which can, for some women, last between 5 to 7 years, which is when your body also goes through another shift. So there is loads of different seasons of hormonal change throughout a woman's life. And obviously, there is a physical aspect to it. But we know that we are spiritual beings with a physical body. And so everything is super interconnected. And so that's why we want to think about it. So our first big point, just to enjoy together, on the sheet you'll see it. It says, the female body, uniquely designed, but painfully fallen. And so do just turn up Genesis 1 with me. And there we will see that God has made men and women in his image for his glory. So Genesis 1, verses 27 to 28, really famous verses that say, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living creature that moves on the earth. And then down in verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, including men and women, and he said it was very good. So the Christian message says that our bodies are good. Being created female is good. And hormones are an incredible part of that design, enabling our bodies to run the way they do. They give the possibility of new life. And even if we don't, or perhaps we can't have children, our bodies echo God's good work in uniquely creating women to nurture life. And so motherhood is a really high calling, and it is a great thing. But there is also more than one way to be a mother in the Bible. And in the New Testament, God is really clear that we are, each and every one of us, called to pour all that we have into building God's church. And I know that loads of us in this room can testify to the love and care of so many spiritual mums in our lives. But we know that God's good design is also deeply affected by the fall. So when God expelled Adam and Eve from the garden, he ordained that one of the most fundamental experiences of womanhood would be cursed. And so if you look at Genesis 3:16, this is God's curse. He says, I will surely multiply your pains in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. So there was a physical consequence to our spiritual rebellion. And that curse has permeated life in a female body in so many different ways. And to differing degrees, each one of us will experience the effects of that curse in our bodies. Whether it's being a kind of moody, self-conscious teenager through the turbulence of pregnancy or the uncertainty of menopause. Or maybe we will have an experience, either in the past or now or in the future, that is more specific and possibly hidden trials in this area. Maybe things like endometriosis or postpartum depression or infertility. And God has given us incredible medicine in this 21st century age, and we just want to acknowledge that up front. It is an incredible gift, and sometimes it can be massively helpful and even life-saving. So please do make the most of that where that's appropriate, and thank the Lord for it. But there may be seasons when the pain of being a woman massively outweighs the privilege of our design from God. We don't necessarily know why God has made some of us struggle more in some of these areas than others, but it is a great thing to remember and to remind one another that the value of our bodies, therefore, does not reside in what we accomplish in our bodies or even how comfortable we feel in our bodies, but the value comes from the designer himself. So although they're fallen, although they're very much imperfect, we can still say, as the psalmist did, For you formed my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So we can praise God for every way that he has designed us as women. And we can also be so honest with him about the pain that we might experience in a female body. Now, I recognise that there are lots of questions at this point, and some of us might even feel anger at the way the fall has affected our bodies. But I think it is so comforting to remember that we have a God who really understands pain. He was born through a woman's pain. He suffered unimaginable pain, and he died to end pain forever. The second big truth that I want us to just enjoy this evening is that the female disciple is defined by our hope, not our hormones. So Christ's death and resurrection transforms our relationship with every single aspect of our lives, and that includes our bodies. So we just saw that value is based upon who made us, not upon how we feel. But as Christians, we can say so much more than that. Our worth is established by our Saviour. So if you looked up 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, these are the glorious words that you find. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Or do you not know that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So Jesus redeems not only our souls, but he also redeems our bodies. And so even as we age, or maybe as we're reminded of our monthly vulnerabilities, then we should be confident that our bodies do indeed have a God-given purpose. I think the current narrative that we sometimes get in the media is that our aim is to be healthy and strong. And now, like, don't hear me wrong, that is a really good thing, to be healthy and strong. But it is not actually what God tells us our divine purposes is. And I think my reflection is, if we think that is what our divine purpose is, then it will wrongly shape our own attitude towards ourselves, towards illness, towards age, and towards one another. But instead, we are made to glorify God now and looking forward to the day when we will perfectly, in pain-free bodies, glorify him forever. And I think that is why in Titus 2, there is such an emphasis on the role of the older women, the way that they can have a growing role in discipling and caring for and training the younger women spiritually. Their Christian experience is totally invaluable to the health of the local church. And so can I say, if you are what you would consider an older woman, and perhaps you're wondering what your purpose is, well, the Bible would say you have a huge purpose in the local church. A huge purpose of discipling the younger women who are sat all around you, even this evening. But if we look at that other Corinthians passage, we get another beautiful truth. And it says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So for those of us who have acute sufferings linked to our femaleness, as with every grief or fear or pain or anxiety, the great comfort of the Christian is that we are looking forward to a day when that illness will be no more. And the challenge for us, whoever we are, whatever season of life we're in, is to keep fixing our eyes on what we actually can't see, on Christ's kingdom and our place within it. So yeah, we do groan. As one lady I read said, I thought quite aptly, post-menopause, she says, we don't groan looking back to our thinner, suppler bodies, but we groan looking forward to a future, a new creation with a new creation body. So for even as we groan, as we age, as our bodies remind us that they are fragile, they are vulnerable, they are ultimately dying, so the spirit inside us reminds us that we are looking forward to a greater day, the day when we will be with Jesus in resurrection bodies that will be perfect and glorious. And so as Christian women, we can live with real hope in this area as with any other area. And so with those true, big, big truths in mind, I would love us just to pause for a second and turn to the lady next to you and just share, how has God encouraged you or comforted you or challenged you from those words this evening so far in your thinking in this area? So just reflect on what we've thought about so far for 1 minute with the ladies next to you.
I'm going to cut across again.
Absolutely gorgeous.
So, we know already, don't we, that we live in the already of our salvation and the not yet of our glorification. So we're just going to consider a couple of ways in which the good news of the gospel help us, even here and in these big questions about hormones. And so firstly, hormones remind us of our weakness. So what if the inherent weakness that comes with hormones doesn't actually keep us from honouring God in the ways that we want to, but instead makes a way for us to honour him? So God has established biological patterns and rhythms in the very fabric of our lives. And I think that is true regardless of whether you want to debate if things like menopause existed before the fall or only after it. But we know that our bodies are weak, they get tired, they get hungry, and they definitely get hormonal. But
just so cute.
But these limits are not to be despised, like my ability to not just think he's cute, are not to be despised. They remind us that we are indeed creatures. We are not our creator God. We are creatures and we are limited. And that's totally okay, because we don't need to be anything other than what we are. So we are free to take a little bit slower sometimes in the weeks when we need to. Because our worth is not in what we get done, or how much we get done, or how we feel as we get those things done. And when our hormones are particularly reminding us that we are not self-sufficient, then I think there is such a precious opportunity to remember again that we are totally dependent upon our Saviour. And so I think it's a great thing for us to be praying for the grace and the freedom to embrace our limitations that sometimes are made just super apparent during times of hormonal change. And I think there is also a really joyful responsibility that we have, particularly as women, not exclusively, but particularly, to support our sisters in Christ when they are feeling their own limitations in a really acute way, when the emotional bandwidth is about that big, or when they just feel totally lost and their hormones are in chaos and they just wonder what is going on anymore. There is a real privilege in us being able to come alongside and support one another. And that's something we're going to think about a little bit more with Ashley, I believe. But secondly, our hormones are also an opportunity to grow in holiness. So we want to be really clear. Periods, pregnancies, and postpartum hormones and the imbalances that come from them are famous as mood influences. So are lots of other things. Sickness, caffeine, sleep deprivation, all of them can alter our body chemistry, and all of those will affect our moods. And let's just be really clear here, since there is a chemistry issue there, then our first line of defense wants to be physical. Eating well, sleeping, exercising. Sometimes something might come completely out of the blue, knowing ladies who perhaps struggled with things like pregnancy-induced anxiety. That is why we have wonderful medics like these lovely ladies who would say, go to your GP, go and ask for help. That's really, really important. But I think we want to also acknowledge that hormonal changes and sometimes the painful physical symptoms that come along with them can also make us more prone than we might otherwise be to things like irritability, depression, crying spells that just cannot be explained. And I think there's a truth here that we're going to have to grapple with, so stay with me. I might say it a couple of times just for us to think about in different ways. But while hormones can help us explain our shifting emotions, they are not an excuse for the sinful behaviours that can often follow them. So sometimes our hormones will actually reveal to us our own sinfulness, because what they do is they just reduce the bandwidth that we have. And we know that in lots of areas of our lives, actually. I know that when I get really tired, it's so much harder for me to fight off the sin of grumpiness or gossip. And our hormones work in a really similar way. And so we never want to blame our sinful behaviours on external or even internal circumstances, because the Bible is really, really clear, sin comes from the heart. And God cares about our holiness, and that is our holiness all year round. And so it would actually be a little bit weird if it was like, oh, there's a week every month when God is not at work in you. He's not making you look more like Jesus, because that's the week when you're controlled by your hormones and not him being at work. And so I think there's real joy in this. But I do wonder if we functionally believe this as we think about our lives, as we think about our attitude to our own hormones, or maybe what our attitude to our own hormones was. And having chatted to some of you, and I'm really grateful for some of the beautiful chats I've had in the last week with lots of you, I know that there are some days, even some seasons, when it feels nearly impossible not to get frustrated at that work colleague, not to snap at the kids just because they're being kids. There are those days when we just don't quite feel ourselves, and that they push us to act really unlike ourselves. When we can't, out of our own sheer willpower, just seem to be nice. Those are days when we need to draw near to the gospel again and to be reminded of the beauty and the grace that isn't there. The gratitude that we have a sufficient saviour who has totally, totally changed our relationship with sin. Because we know, don't we, that although we still fight daily with the presence of sin in our lives, the power of sin was totally dealt with at the cross for all of Jesus' children. And the penalty or the consequences of that sin was totally dealt with on the cross. And so I hope that as we're about to look at this passage in Colossians together, there'll be a real challenge for any of us who don't feel like there's a battle with sin, perhaps because we've just normalised it, or maybe because we're even just content to live with sin in our lives for like a week, a month. Or perhaps for those of us who are just really overwhelmed and feel like it is an unachievable thing to be godly in those seasons, like we're just going to keep messing up and it's too difficult, there'll be real comfort and real encouragement. So I want you, in your pairs, look at that passage in Colossians 3. You probably need to skim read it because I'm not going to give you very much time. The first 14 verses. And I'd love you just to think about, how does Paul show us about how we should train our minds and our hearts and live for Christ at all times? And then what encouragement is there for us when we just feel like it is impossible, when that emotional bandwidth is about yay big, to keep living godly lives? I hope that you found that really encouraging. A couple of the things that I found super encouraging from that passage is that even when we feel really big emotions, we're being called, aren't we, to train our thinking and cultivate our affections, that we might set our minds upon Christ upon things that are above. So even as the emotions are big, we're to cultivate a mind that is keeping on longing for Christ and for his things, to put off the old self and to put on the new self. And although this is a passage that's all about church unity, I think it's such a lovely example of that call to bear with one another and forgive one another. And in this area, that's going to look like bearing with one another's weaknesses and forgiving one another's sin. And sometimes it is going to be hard to even distinguish between those things, a weakness and sin. The Lord is really kind in that, that's okay. Like, we can leave that with the Lord and know that he's got that. Like, what a wonderful hope that is for all of us. And hormones remind us, don't they? They teach us, they invite us to take the opportunity to keep living out our identity as those who are saved by the Lord Jesus for a glorious future. And so there are five really quick implications that I would love us to draw just from all of our thinking tonight. And firstly, that is to remember who we are in Christ and who we will be. Because even our worst days cannot change that. And that is the grace of the gospel, isn't it? That every month we have a new opportunity to fix our eyes on a future when our whole being, body, mind and spirit will be finally perfected, finally free from any effect of weakness or sin, and we will be with God. And that is an awesome reason to praise God. Secondly, I think we want to be really self-aware people. Some women who are blessed with really regular menstruation cycles and are really good at tracking them have particularly found this helpful, but actually knowing your own body can help you know your own particular seasons of weakness. So I know one example for some would be that ovulation combined with the wrong film can just leave them crippled with lust. So self-awareness in that area can help them fight sin. Thirdly, let's be praying. Let's be a prayerful people, because we always need the Spirit to help us at all times of our lives to live for the glory of God and not for ourselves. And I find that a real challenge. Like, how often do I pray preemptively knowing that a struggle might be coming up? And how often do I pray for my friends? I confess I've never actually yet, but I would love this to change, prayed for a pregnant friend as the avalanche of hormones comes in, that they will keep living a holy and upright life that glorifies God. And fourthly, let's be talking together. So often, don't we, as we are called to encourage one another in the Bible, as we walk alongside through life together, we're called to talk. And we talk about our prayer lives and talk about our evangelism. But why don't we talk about the times when we might be struggling particularly? Times when we see that our emotional bandwidth is going to be really, really little and we're going to need all the help that we can get from the Spirit. We want to be a church family that cares for the whole person. He wants people to get the help physically that they need and wants to support and encourage them spiritually. And the final beautiful implication is that hormones can teach us endurance, because God uses all things, including pain, including turbulence, to grow us more like Jesus. And there's an American lady called, actually I totally assume she's American from her name, I'm so sorry. her name is Whitney Pipkin. And she said this, and I thought it was really helpful based off this verse from James. If repetition is indeed the mother of learning, we will have a lot of opportunities to learn to live well alongside our hormones. But could we also learn to consider even that repetitive trial as joy, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance? And I think that is a glorious hope for all of us in our hormonal change. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to invite Neve and Ashley to join us to have a change of voice and hear some of their story. But let me pray. Father, you know that our hormones are so intrinsically a way that you have made us, and we thank you that it is a good thing to be made women, Lord, that it is part of your beautiful design. And yet, Lord, we're honest that all of ourselves, all of our being is affected by the fall. And Lord, sometimes that's really hard and painful. Sometimes it's really confusing. Sometimes it's just really annoying. Lord, we pray that you'll be helping us to grow more like Jesus, to live faithfully in this area, to steward our hormones well, and to support one another in wisdom and gentleness. Lord, please help us be those who count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds, and help us be those who look with real confidence to those resurrection bodies that you've promised to every one of your children. Amen.
Amen.